Now the boy Samuel ministered to the Lord before Eli, and the word of the Lord was rare in those days. There was no widespread revelation. And it came to pass at that time, while Eli was lying down in his place, and when his eyes had begun to grow so dim that he could not see, and before the lamp of God went out in the tabernacle of the Lord, where the ark of God was, and while Samuel was lying down, that the Lord called Samuel. And he answered, "Hineni, here I am." So he ran to Eli and said, "Here I am, you called me." And he said, "I did not call, lie down again." And he went and lay down. Then the Lord called yet again, "Samuel." So Samuel arose and went to Eli and said, "Here I am, for you called me." He answered, "I did not call, my son, lie down again." Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord, nor was the word of the Lord yet revealed to him. And the Lord called Samuel again the third time. So he arose and went to Eli and said, "Here I am, for you did call me." Then Eli perceived that the Lord had called the boy. Therefore Eli said to Samuel, "Go lie down, and it shall be, if he calls you, that you must say, 'Speak, Lord, for your servant hears.'" So Samuel went and lay down in his place. Now the Lord came and stood and called as at other times, "Samuel, Samuel." And Samuel answered, "Speak, for your servant hears." What follows in the third chapter of 1 Samuel is a message that God gave to the young boy Samuel. And it was not a pleasant message at all. But yet, in order to fulfill his calling, Samuel had to learn first to hear the voice of God, and second, to respond to the voice of God, which he did. There are many times and many ways that God calls. He calls in one way or another, at one time or another, he calls us all. It may be to do something for a temporary basis. It may be to a permanent type of a ministry. It may be to return to him from your pigsty, as Shane mentioned. We got to remember that God wants a personal, individual relationship with each one of us. And he wants us to fulfill the purpose for which he has trained us, for which he has prepared us, for which he has made us ready, because we all, in some way, have a ministry. It may be to stand and preach. It may be to prophesy. It may be to sing or play an instrument. It may be to pick up the trash in the parking lot. It might be to go to the hospital and say a kind word to someone who's suffering and pray with them. It might be to go to your neighbor and bury the hatchet in the ground and not in the neighbor. It may be a lot of different things, but God calls us at various and sundry times to do things, and it's important, I think, that we consider some of the ways he calls and some of the responses to what happens when God calls. I want to take you briefly to Isaiah chapter 6, another call, right? Isaiah chapter 6, it says this, "In the year King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting on a throne, high and lifted up, and the train of his robe filled the temple. Above it stood the seraphim. Each one had six wings. With two he covered his face, with two he covered his feet, and with two he flew. And one cried to another and said, 'Kadosh, Kadosh, Kadosh, Adonai Elohim Zevaot.' The whole earth is full of his glory. And the posts of the door were shaken by the voice of him who cried out, and the house was filled with smoke. So I said, 'Woe is me, for I'm undone, because I'm a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips, for my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts.' Then one of the seraphim flew to me, having in his hand a live coal, which he'd taken with tongs from the altar. And he touched my mouth with it and said, 'Behold, this has touched your lips. Your iniquity is taken away and your sin purged.' And I also heard the voice of the Lord saying, 'Whom shall I send and who will go for us?' Then I said, 'Hineni, Here I am, send me. The prophet was called, and he responded. We all know the story of Moses. Moses has spent 40 years in the palace of Pharaoh, and he spent the next 40 on the backside of the desert tending sheep. When one day, while he was going about his business, he saw a bush which was burning but was not consumed. He said, I need to go see this. And from the midst of that bush, God spoke to Moses. And he gave him a call, and he gave him a task, and he gave him a purpose. But Moses was reluctant. Who am I? Who am I to go? He said. You notice he didn't say, here am I. He said, who am I? It's a different kind of a response, isn't it? God, however, was insistent that Moses fulfill the destiny which he had been raised up to do. You see, Moses doubted himself. He thought that he had failed in his purpose when he rose up and slew a man in anger and had to flee. And he spent the next 40 years of his life walking around behind sheep in a dry place. He thought he'd failed, but God still had a purpose for him. So when God called, Moses resisted at first, but yet finally yielded. God called another man, a prophet. He said, I want you to go to this place where these foreigners dwell, people who are not like you, and I want you to prophesy to them so that they will repent and I'll relent of my destruction. His name was Jonah. Jonah's response was different from all the others, wasn't it? He said, probably in his heart, I don't like those people. We find later in the book that he said, you know, I just knew God, if I went and preached to them, they'd repent and you wouldn't destroy them. And I'll look like an idiot because I prophesied their destruction and they didn't get destroyed. So Jonah flew. He fled and went the other direction, got on a ship headed just as far away from Nineveh as he could possibly go. Did God let him go? He got his attention, didn't he? And he realized what was going on, and he realized that the other people on that ship were going to pay the price if he didn't, and he gave himself up, but God wasn't done with him. He let him marinate for 3 days in the belly of a great fish, and when he spit him out on the shore, he ran to Nineveh and preached, and they repented, and God relented, and he pouted because he was painfully human, even in the midst of his call. I'll give you one more, talking about callings. There's a man named Nehemiah. He was a captive in a foreign nation, serving a foreign king. He was the cupbearer to the king. Now, you know, butler, waiter, you know, I'm the guy that gets to take the king his wine. Big, important job, right? But Nehemiah had a heart. He had a heart for the deserted city of Jerusalem, the deserted land of Israel, and those exiles who, the people who weren't exiled, but those the remnant that remained in that area. And he would always ask when someone came, tell me about Jerusalem. Tell me about what's going on. I've got a heart for him. And God moved upon his heart, and he was bold enough to go and speak to the king and say, I'm grieving. Actually, the king noticed his countenance was down. He was sad. The king noticed, said, why? I've never seen you like this. And he said, I'm grieving for my city. I'm grieving for my people. And I think God moved on the king too, because Nehemiah didn't ask to go. The king said, well, how long will you be gone? Different ways of responding to different kinds of calls. Let's take a minute and think where these people were. Where were they when the call came? Young Samuel was in a quiet time, in a quiet place, in his bed. And God spoke in the coolness and quietness of the night and called his name. Isaiah, we see that he was having a vision of the glory of God, so he must have been in an attitude of worship. So he was in the midst of worshiping God and considering his greatness and his glory, and he answered the call in the midst of his worship. Moses. Moses was at work. He was out tending the sheep, a boring job, a menial task. He's out walking around and he saw out of the corner of his eye this strange sight. So I got to go check this out. We don't know where Jonah was when he received his call. No details are given to us, but we would assume that his circumstances were completely different than all these others. And Nehemiah? Nehemiah was in a time of prayer out of his concern for people that he'd probably never met, but who were in distress miles and miles away. Bear in mind that Nehemiah himself was a captive at that time, a captive and a servant. But he was in an attitude of prayer. He was interceding for his people, and he received a call to a mission. Where were you when God called you? How did you respond? I'll tell you, there are many different ways that we respond to God's call. Let's look at a few of them. What do you do when God calls you? Some of us just flat don't hear. We're tuned to a different channel. And God calls and we never hear Him. That's a sad place to be. Because when you've turned off your spiritual receiver to the voice of God, you're going to hear one of two things. You're either going to hear the enemy or you're going to hear static. It'll take you back away from the days of satellite radio to your AM radio, your little transistor you used to carry around. I look around the room, most of you are old enough to remember that. And if you weren't on a channel, what did you hear? Or then maybe you got a channel you didn't want to hear. Well, are we tuned in to God or not? Have we intentionally turned off the receiver because we don't want to hear? We're afraid what the Spirit might say. Kind of like Moses, like, oh God, don't send me. And sometimes we hear the call and we ignore it. How many of you have gotten to the place where Myla and I are that if the house phone rings, we know it's somebody who wants to sell us insurance or get rid of our timeshare or sell us an extended warranty? And therefore, when that phone rings, we ignore it. What do you do when God calls? Do you ignore the call because you don't want to deal with it? You don't want to listen to it? Sometimes we avoid it. You know, there was a movie years ago. I'm not going to relate the title of it. But in it, the governor of Texas had a song and dance number, said, "I love to do the sidestep." And he'd have his Stetson hat on sideways, and he'd snap around, and it'd hit right, just right. You know, I love to do, you know, politicians like to do the sidestep, right? They want to avoid anything they don't want to talk about. You've heard people interviewed that don't want to answer the question, and the reporter asks them the question, and they answer something entirely unrelated. Hello, we do that to God. We want to avoid it, kind of like Moses did. You know, it's not me. You're not calling me. Sometimes we absolutely deny it. That's just, that can't be for me. That's got to be for somebody else. Let me tell Sister Susie about that, because that call would be perfect for her. Sometimes, very much like Moses said, I just can't do it. Look, I've got a history. I've already failed. I'm too old. I tried it before and it didn't work. God says, hey, I want you to go. And we said, no, not me. I can't. I can't do that. I don't have the tools to do that. I don't have the time to do that. That convict anybody other than me? Sometimes, okay, I'll think about it. I'll get back to you next Tuesday. Sometimes we rationalize it away. How many know that human beings have the infinite capacity to talk themselves out of anything? You can rationalize why that's not me, why it really should be somebody else. That's the people aren't going to react well if I do it. You know, like Jonah, you know, I'll do it and God will do his thing and they'll think I'm an idiot because I prophesied destruction and it didn't come. Yeah, we do that. Sometimes we compromise. God, I'll go this far. I know you told me to go over there. I'll go this far. I'm comfortable here. I'd be uncomfortable if I go over there. Sometimes we try to adjust it to our comfort level, which is kind of like what I just said there. There are some times that we embrace the call. So yes, God, if you called, then you'll provide everything I need. I know it's out of my comfort zone. I know it's something that I really don't think I'm qualified to do, but if you tell me to do it, then you'll provide what I need to do it. So yes, I will embrace that calling. But once you embrace it, what are you going to do with it? Are you going to actually walk through it? Or are you just going to say, yeah, I'm called to be, and never take the first step to exercise it? Sometimes we actually own it. So yes, God, if you say I'm a prophet, I'm a prophet. Therefore, I will listen to you and I will speak what you tell me to speak. Yes, God, I know that, you know, I don't feel like I'm qualified to start that ladies' ministry, but if you tell me to do it, then I need to do it. Gentlemen, yeah, I know you're calling me to start the men's ministry, but, you know, if you say I can do it, I can do it. Sometimes you can go too far. Sometimes you can steal the ministry that God has given you. You can steal the calling and repurpose it for your own use. Yes, you have anointed me to prophesy, therefore I'm going to meddle. I'm going to remold the church in the image that I think it ought to be. I'm going to call people to ministries who God hadn't called, but I'm going to call them there. Yeah, that can happen too. You can go too far. Lots of ways to react. The way we should react is, first of all, the way that Samuel did. Hear my sin me. Think about what Samuel had to do. Here's this young man who's been raised up under the mentorship of Eli, and God gives him the message that I'm going to destroy the house of Eli for their disobedience. And Samuel wakes up the next morning, and Eli says, tell me what God told you. How hard do you think it was for that young man to speak the message God laid on his heart? Remember what Eli's reaction to it was? Yeah, that's about right. He knew it. He knew his sons were disobedient. He knew they had repurposed the ministry that had been given to them and were perverting it for their own pleasure and their own use. He knew all that. He couldn't bring himself to act on it. So when God sent the message to Samuel, I'm going to judge that, Eli at least had the guts to embrace it. You know, we're awfully concerned, I think, sometimes as human beings about how others are going to react. And when God calls us, Part of our concern is, how are other people going to react? If I do this, if I follow God, how are people going to react to it? Well, let's see how some people will react. Some people will totally ignore you. You don't matter. Some people will belittle you. You, a preacher? You going to teach a class? You got to be kidding me. You got nothing. You barely walk around. They'll laugh at you. People will laugh at you if you embrace God's call sometimes. People will gossip about you. Did you hear? Old Joe said God called him to thus and so, and I know his history. He could never do that. It's like taking a child's crayon drawing and hanging it in the Louvre. They can't do that. Have you heard that from somebody when God called you to do something? You can't do that. They'll tear you down. Sometimes people will criticize you. Some people will complain about everything you do. It just ain't good enough. You're doing what God told you to do to the level that God has enabled you to do it, and somebody says it just ain't good enough. Who do they think they are? Sometimes they'll scratch their heads and say, well, could it be? Could it be God's called Joe to that ministry? Well, that's interesting. We'll just have to see how that pans out. Sometimes they'll embrace it and help you. Yeah, I believe that Sister Sally has been called to lead that ministry, and you know, I think she'll do well if she yields to God, and I'll help her. And then they'll begin to enable you. So here's some more positive reactions, right? The first ones were really negative, but now we're getting more positive. And sometimes I'll even volunteer to help. I feel like God's calling me to help her with that. I'll go and help with that ministry. So how's the church built? The church is built by those who hear the call and answer it properly, and by those who enable and assist those who've received the call. We all help. We all pitch in. We all do what God calls us to do. And we've got to clearly hear what God's leading us to do. By the way, not what people are leading us to do, but what God is leading us to do. We've got to clearly hear that. We've got to be ready to embrace it and act on it. We have got to realize we don't do it in our own power, our own strength, our own wisdom. We do it in those things provided by God. It's all about the anointing. It's not about the ability. God takes ability and uses it. Got a man over sitting over here who can play a guitar. God uses it, right? You know, you can use that ability a lot of different ways, but God can anoint it and use it and bless it and make it a positive thing. And we pitch in to help. Because you see, the church is a team, isn't it? Pastor's the assistant coach. Wonder who the head coach is? God. No. He comes up with the plan. We just help him enable it, right? And then we go out and we make the play when it's time to make the play. Because I tell you, there's something else about calling. There's something that goes with a calling, and that is authority. Whether you're called to serve, whether you're called to lead, whether you're called to preach, whether you're called to sing, you have authority over the area that you've been called to. It comes from God. But now you've got to realize that there is an authority higher up the chain of command, and that's God Himself. We must never use the anointing, the calling, the abilities, the gifts that God has given us. We can't usurp them. We can't steal them from God. We've got to use them as He leads. We've got to remember always it's not our plan, it's God's plan. We don't need human beings to put people in ministries. We need God to place people and plant them where they are to grow. And if you're planted in the right place, it will take root and it will bear fruit. You plant it in the wrong place and the brambles will cover it up. You'll get drowned out by the kudzu. I tell you, you could preach real long about kudzu if you wanted to. Because there are a lot of things of the devil that work exactly like kudzu. They will grow like crazy and smother everything in their path. I've seen kudzu grow across a 16-foot blacktop road overnight. It'll smother you. The devil will smother you if you give him half a chance. There's authority in the calling, but the authority is in the area that you're called to. And the authority is only good in submission to God's higher authority. If you try to usurp it, if you try to use it in the wrong place, if you try to go utilize your authority in ministry X over the other guy in ministry Z, you stepped out of line. Everybody's got authority in the area that they're called to, and only in the area they're called to. Otherwise, you've stepped out of the chain of command, and you're a rogue. You know, I'm going to bring out one more point, and that's this. How dare you criticize somebody else's ministry? They're not working for you, they're working for God. God takes care of His own servants. I don't have authority over somebody who worked for somebody else. We work for God, His authority. And the problem that we get into so many times is we dig our own hole trying to make ourselves look better than somebody else or trying to criticize somebody else. Remember what happened to a bunch of people wandering in the Judean wilderness when they criticized Moses? Remember? God judged them. As I recall, the earth opened up and swallowed them. Don't mess with God's people. Don't mess with the... Don't touch... Who? Far be it from me to touch God's anointed, David said, when he had every opportunity to kill his persecutor Saul. David basically said this: God put him on the throne. When it's time for him to get off the throne, God will take him off. It's not mine to do that. So my call to you this morning is this. First of all, hear my call to hear God's call. You're not excess baggage. You're not a used candy wrapper laying beside the road. God has a call on your life. And it may change from season to season. The call that you embrace today may not be the same call that you embraced 10 years ago or 10 minutes ago. There are seasons. There was a season that Moses lived in the palace. There was a season that Moses tended sheep, and there was a season that he stood before Pharaoh, which was followed by a season of trying to get 250,000 grumbling complainers through the desert. There was a season when David watched the sheep at night. There was a season when he sang to soothe King Saul. There was a season when he ran from Saul, who was trying to kill him. And there was a season for David to be king. There's seasons. And just because we were there then doesn't mean that's the same place we're called to be now. Because it's a growing process, isn't it? God is constantly molding and remolding and remaking us into who we are to be tomorrow. We got to be, we can't hang on to who we were yesterday, because if we hang on to yesterday, we miss today, and therefore we miss the preparation for tomorrow. So let God do a new thing in your life. Hear the call that He has for you today. Now, if you have been ignoring, avoiding, if you've been doing something, all those negative things I said you can do with your call, today's the day to put it right. Say, Hineni, Lord, here am I. Here am I, send me. Let me listen to what You're calling me to do. Let me work and walk in what You're calling me to walk in. I can't stay where I am anymore because the light's been turned on, and I now know. Or maybe this. By the way, that requires repentance. You repent of resisting God, and then you embrace His call to move forward. But maybe you've been criticizing someone else's ministry. You need to repent of that too. Because He's working for God, He ain't working for you. He, she, whoever. Generic pronouns. Listen. Time is short. This is the season of the latter end. Have you watched the news? How many of you were in Hazard the other day when the skies opened up and the ice came down? Have you ever seen such a bizarre hailstorm this time of year in this town? How many earthquakes have there been within about 200 miles of us in the last week? Had one in Tennessee yesterday. It was felt in areas around here. Really? Places where we don't hear about earthquakes a whole lot. Yeah, we are in a fault zone around here, but we don't hear about it very often. Torrential rains, floods, storms, fires. You reckon that the Creator of nature is using nature to help get our attention? You know, I do believe we wrote about signs like that, haven't we? There's some writing in this book that indicates signs like that. There is no guarantee of tomorrow. There is no guarantee that we can embrace our ministry next year, because there's no guarantee of next year, and there's no guarantee of you being here next year. Comes right down to it. We're not guaranteed anything. What we are able to do is embrace God's call. And now's the time. Now is the time. We sang that song, now's the time to worship, right? Well, now's the time to serve. It's time to heed the call. It's time to bend your stiff neck to God. You know how hard it is for some people to just yield? I don't mean physically. I mean spiritually. I mean emotionally. I mean mentally. How hard is it to yield before your God?